You don't want to miss All Things Apostolic today. I'm going to start a discussion that affects Pentecostals today. And it's about organizations. It's about fellowship. It affects a lot of things. I won't finish it today, but I will start it. So you need to be listening. Well, welcome again to All Things Apostolic, and thank you for stopping by today to be with us for a few minutes, maybe a few more minutes today than we usually take. We are happy that you are with us, and oftentimes, of course, you know, if you've been around us, All Things Apostolic I'm on Monday on All Things Apostolic. It's got co-host on Tuesday. It's Jennifer Barrett, doing a tremendous job and has extremely high value content every time that she makes a presentation, which is every week on Tuesday. And Dr. Casey Sees is on Wednesday. And likewise, the content there is useful to churches and pastors and leaders everywhere. And then on Thursday is our good friend and now is the new chief theological officer of Wilson University, and that is Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks. And if you have listened to him, you know that he is insightful. He has all kinds of understanding on important biblical issues and the doctrinal issues and so forth. So these are just top flight. You can't go anywhere and get any better. And so every week we come to you. And at some point we'll have one on Friday too. We've got people that would be willing to do that, but we want it to be the right people at the right time. And just to give you a little heads up, one of the things we will do is at some point we will start doing, we don't even have a name for it yet, but the five of us, we will take a particular topic and we won't be in a hurry and we'll go through that topic, topics of interest, topics perhaps to do with current events, topics to do with issues in society, topics to do with biblical doctrine and teaching, and a multitude of other subjects. So this is a place to be. We are not in a big hurry, but we are growing this in a way that it will be substantive and it won't be here today and gone tomorrow, Lord willing, but it will become increasingly more powerful as we go. So welcome. This is May the 13th. We are glad that you, on May the 13th, have chosen to be with us for the next few minutes. A long time ago, I learned some things about John and Charles Wesley. Actually, probably the right way to say that is Charles and John Wesley, because I think Charles was the oldest who lived in the 1700s and who were the progenitors of what became the Methodist Church. Which at its peak worldwide was one of the primary influencers in much of the Western world and Europe. So it's been a while back. I've been thinking about unnecessary strictures on an organizational level. And we've all struggled with that. Organizations struggle with this. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's an organizational thing. And defining loyalties. And somebody said, well, I ride for the brand. Well, then you have to determine what is the brand. So it's not just a subject that immediately self-resolves when you make a few pithy statements of some kind that are interesting. So years ago, I took a trip. This must have been about 1980. This is quite a few years ago, 44 years ago. I took a trip, and in some ways it impacted my life in some very important ways that have never gone away. I want to talk about one of those things today. I took this trip, my wife and I, with another couple, Pastor Randy Keyes and his wife. We went over, it was like a vacation, except it was an educational vacation. And we didn't spend much time just laying around. We went to places that were not just entertainment, but to places that we could learn things that was important to us. And of course, Christianity had a great impact in England, as it did in throughout Western Europe and even Eastern Europe also. It had a tremendous impact, and around the world. However, in these areas, it grew deeper, faster, probably, than in most other areas. Then, of course, when the pilgrims came to America and others, then it jumped to America and has been the driving force that has created the wonderful nation today that we know as the United States of America. Anyway, Charles and John Wesley started preaching. And Charles was primarily a singer, and like today we would call him a worship leader, and he was a tremendous songwriter, and there are still hymns that were written by John Wesley that are sang in churches, I suppose, around the world. Both of them were ministers in the Church of England, a little bit different than America, significantly different. In that the Church of England is a state church. The state has its own church. The government, the nation, has its own church. It's called the Church of England. It was established. It broke away from the Catholic Church. No need to get into all the history of it, but anyway, many of its it was liturgical, like the Catholic Church. It was not characterized so much by preaching as it was by liturgy and by rituals that were done in the services. So John and Charles were Church of England ministers. They were raised in England, in the Church of England. Their mother's name was Susanna. She had 9 children, if I remember right, and raised them all to try to get them to know the Lord and to commit their lives to the Lord the very best she knew how. In that process, John and Charles and other people, but we're talking about John and Charles as leaders, prominent leaders, when they were very young men, still in college, they started a club like about holiness and about being devout as a Christian, and about piety, and about doing God's will in your life. But John became quite a preacher. And Charles, as I said, was gifted in the area of music. He probably preached a little too, but primarily his gifting was in the other area. But John became a preacher, and he saw these shortcomings in the Church of England. And some of them were pretty serious shortcomings in his mind. If you're going to know God, they were very serious shortcomings. So he had no intention of leaving the Church of England. He intended to stay there, but he intended to improve it, kind of like Martin Luther earlier, 150 years earlier, or however how many years, did not originally intend to leave the Catholic Church, but he wanted to improve it over its weaknesses and the areas that it was delinquent in. And so John started preaching as a member of the Church of England. Well, his preaching became known, and because it was anointed, he was saying things that resonated with the people and who were tired of having a religion that was here, but you couldn't get deep enough here. So he was working on these things. Well, so he would go, this happened more than once. As a licensed minister, an ordained minister in the Church of England, he would go to a church, and when he got there, the protocol of the day then was, if there's a visiting Church of England minister, the minister would ask him to preach that Sunday morning service or whatever service it was. So John did this often. It was part of kind of being itinerant, an evangelist. And after a while, he became known. And in his being known, to some people, it was notoriety. To others, it would be recognition and even fame. But notoriety carries a positive connotation. And so he went to a church one morning, and the preacher refused to have him preach. Well, when people knew John Wesley was coming, there was going to be a big crowd. And the preacher refused to have him preach because he was still in the Church of England, but he was controversial. And so when they refused him the right to preach, he stepped outside of the church and in the churchyard. Usually the churchyard also consisted of a cemetery, a graveyard, because the churches in those days were responsible for people when they died that were church members to bury them there at the church. And this is how families, generations all got tied into these churches through the cemeteries and so forth. And so John just stepped out and preached in the churchyard. Well, so like a couple thousand people came when they found out he was in the churchyard, and they came, and most of the people walked. It wasn't like driving 30 miles like today, but the crowd was very significant for that particular church. So the service was over. It went well. People listened to him preach and prayed and sought God. A couple, three or four Sundays later, whatever, he went to another church, and the preacher refused to have him preach. He was becoming a threat. And so he stepped out into the yard and started preaching. And like 5,000 people showed up, and he preached to them, and the crowd was enormous. Well, the word about all this started getting out, and then it was a Sunday or two or three or four, whatever it was. Later, he went to another church, and they refused him to preach, and so he stepped out into the yard, and in just a few minutes, 8,000 people had gathered to hear him preach. And so we are told that the crowd got bigger and his influence grew until there were thousands of people being impacted, and it was like fire going through the country. But he still had his license with the Church of England, but he was alienated now by his own organization. And so anyway, in about 1980, I took a trip there, Pastor Keyes and I, and we were on the subway, and we asked where John Wesley was buried, because the famous English people, many of them in those days, were buried in Westminster Abbey. Now, that's the state church's primary church edifice or building. And because it is a state church, it's right across the street from Parliament. That would be like in the United States, right across the street from the Capitol. It is the Church of England's primary church. Inside of it, it's a fairly large edifice. So we visited it, we went inside of it, and it is filled. It has room for pews and so forth. But it's filled in, it's really beautiful, but it's filled with tombstones of England's most prominent people in their history. It's not just people who were preachers or somewhere in Christian ministry. It's leaders of England, because if they were leaders of England, and this is the Church of England, and it is a state church, then these, all the people who were prominent in the promulgation of England as a nation are also prominent as representatives of the Church of England, which they would declare would be representatives of the Church of Jesus Christ in the world. And so this institutional hubris that has come to virtually every denomination or institutional church structure at some point in time, this, it set in. And in that church today is all the famous names that you can think of practically in England, including preachers, including not all preachers, but including some preachers, including Charles Darwin, including others, the great, some of the great poets and authors are buried in there. And of course, the warriors and the military people who led England to victories, and some of the great politicians are buried in there, in this place of prominence. And so the truth is, in England, there has been, that I can think of, if anybody has any suggestions where I'm wrong on this, I'm open to it, but that I can think of, I would say that there is not a single Englishman in the history of England that has impacted the whole world to the degree that Charles Wesley impacted the whole world. Methodism became a mighty, mighty monolith of promotion of Christianity as they saw it and knew it. And John Wesley ended up, I'm not going to do a history on John Wesley today, but John Wesley ended up coming to America and preaching, riding horseback, preaching. He and some others would preach like as many as as three or four times a day as they could preach, get on their horse, go to the next place, preach. And some of them was said that they preached five times a day, at least 5 or 6 days a week. So this this shows you the commitment. And John Wesley made a tremendous impact, and George Whitefield and others in America, where these meetings got so big that 10 or 15, maybe 20,000 people at a time would come out here in America into an open area and listen to the preaching. These men had tremendous lungs and tremendous voices. Sometimes when there was that many people, they weren't all listening to one preacher. There was the main preacher there, but there would be other preachers preaching in different places or, in the area. And especially if it was a woods area, over here it'd be somebody preaching, there'd be 1,000 people over there maybe, and over here 500, and over here 3,000. And then at the main service, there would be up to 10 or 15 or 20,000 people. Well, George Whitefield was not the only one that was part of that. And John Wesley was to some degree a part of that, and also preached and established outposts by the hundreds in America as well as in England and points beyond. So anyway, we took our trip over there. We got there. We were on the subway, and I asked the man who was giving us a little history of England and where we were and what went on. And so I asked him in front of people. I said, "Could you tell me where is John Wesley buried?" This is no exaggeration. The man stopped. And he got quiet and a little bit nervous. And he turned around and ignored me. And so I thought, well, this is interesting. It's kind of fun. And so I said to him in a few minutes, I said, a while ago I asked, could you tell me where is John Wesley buried? And he said, you'll see me later. I mean, he wouldn't even talk about it. Well, if anybody should have been buried in Westminster Abbey in England, there was nobody that affected the world like John Wesley did. But he wasn't buried there. The more I thought about it, the more I got curious. So when we got off the subway, the guy is standing there. It may have been a bus by then. I don't know. But the guy was standing there, and he reached out, and he gave me a piece of paper. He said, this is the address of where the grave of John Wesley is. But he wasn't very nice. Of course, in England, they can be pretty clipped anyway. But he wasn't very nice. And so I got off of the bus, Randy and I. The women went back to the room, but we went to this address. The sun was going down. It was still daylight, but it was not twilight, but pretty close. And we rode this cab that we were in till it took us to where John Wesley was buried. I got a whole lot to say about this. Join us next week, and we will continue this.